Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to another video in the education section, this one being on preventing snacking and overeating. And this is a topic a lot of clients have struggled with, hence why I'm making the episode on it. And it can basically lead to accumulating excessive calories throughout the day, usually that aren't that satiating, sending you over your calorie goal or sending you over, if you're not tracking calories, how much you need to maintain your weight in terms of calories. And the problem with it can lie is, usually, like, foods people snack on don't contribute much towards satiety. Like, if people are wanting snacks, they're probably going to have a biscuit, a packet of crisps, things like that. Or, like, wee bites here and there. And it's very easy to graze on these wee things that won't fill us up, but will contribute towards our calorie intake without really managing satiety, as I've touched on. So, my first point is going to be making sure you eat enough meals on a daily basis. So, the amount of meals you eat is something super important. And the reason being is, if someone's, let's say, eating too infrequently, what that can basically cause is a high amount of hunger. And then you've only got a limited amount of willpower. So if you know you're having breakfast and then you've got to wait, let's say, 8 hours until your next meal, that's a long time to go without any nutrition, without any food. As a result, people's ability to adhere to that is going to be lower. You're going to find it hard to bridge that time gap between that first and second meal without having to kind of eat or have other foods. So instead of maybe failing to adhere and having a snack, why don't you just plan a meal in anyway and eat a bit more frequently? There is benefit of having multiple meals on a daily basis as well. So when we have a meal, granted that's containing 20 grams of protein, ideally a bit more, it spikes muscle protein synthesis, which basically puts us in a good position to build muscle and retain muscle, which if your goal is to lose body fat, it will make that process easier. If your goal is to look better, it'll make that process easier as well. So generally, it's not a bad idea having multiple meals for that reason, because every time you have a meal, granted it's again 2 to 2.5 hours apart, it allows us to spike muscle protein synthesis. However, on the flip side, if someone's eating, let's say, too frequently, then that can cause a lack of satiety. And the reason being is, if someone's, let's say, having quite an excessive amount of meals, they won't actually have a lot of calories they can eat in either or in one of those meals, because they've got meals that frequent on a daily basis, so that will lead to, again, a lack of satiety from that meal, basically giving the same issue but on the opposite end of the spectrum. So you want to be somewhere in between. You don't want to eat too infrequent that you're struggling to adhere and wait until your next meal, but you don't want your meals that small that you're not actually getting any sensation of fullness for those meals. Everyone's different. Find what works for you, your routine, your preferences. But typically, I'd say 4 to 5 meals a day isn't a bad spot. And when I say meals, I'm not saying you need to eat like a massive kind of homemade from scratch meal. It could literally be like a protein yogurt and some fruit, a protein yogurt and a banana. That could be a meal. And just having that can help bridge the gap and be conducive towards managing that hunger, stopping you from snacking. And in terms of my next point, it's going to be meal timing. So your meal timing kind of ties into the previous point, in the fact that if someone's, let's say, got meal timing that's just not favourable at all, they'll find it hard to wait until that next meal without overeating, without being too hungry. So first point I want to make with meal timing is, if you're not hungry, don't eat immediately after waking up. If you get up at 7 a.m. and you're not really feeling like eating, then don't slam a full English breakfast at 7:30. That's just a way to accumulate unnecessarily high amount of calories that's going to make you not be able to eat much when you are hungry, when you aren't as busy. Usually people are quite busy and occupied in the morning. Very little people wake up and think, oh, I could go a pizza right now. Usually it's later in the day when they've finished work, had a stressful day, they're tired, the willpower is lower. So in the morning, feel free to kind of extend that fasting period until like a few hours after waking up, if you're not training, that is. And use that time to get well hydrated, have some salt or have some electrolytes instead. And this will basically give you a smaller window to eat the same amount of calories in. It'll give you less time in between meals. And from there, space your meals out relatively even. And what that could basically look like is, if you wake up at 7 a.m, you could wait until 10 a.m. and then have your first meal. In the meantime, again, well hydrate yourself, have a decaf coffee or caffeinated one, and be mindful of the milk and sugars, because that's, a way to accumulate unnecessary amounts of calories. So yeah, 10 a.m. you could then have your first meal. second meal you could have at around about 1. Third one you could have about 3:30. Then you could eat again at 6. And then have your fifth meal at 8:30. And this will be a good way to kind of, again, manage your hunger and appetite. Get multiple protein feedings in as well. And you'll notice, like, there's quite a big gap between waking up, having that first meal, and then those meals are a bit more frequent because, again, usually you're going to be more hungry first thing in the morning and you're going to want to snack more later in the day. And again, tying into that point nicely, next up is your calorie distribution. So we spoke about your meal frequency, meal timing. Now it's time to kind of move on to the calories in those meals. So what I recommend you do is place your higher calorie meals around the periods where either hunger is higher, but also ideally before your session, after your session, and pre-bed. Obviously, what matters most is adherence. Like, if your goal is primarily fat loss, it doesn't matter if, let's say, your calorie placement's optimal. If you're overeating, you're not going to lose body fat. So it's a balancing act to be had. We want to place our calories that's going to support good performance and recovery, helping us improve our body composition. But at the same time, we want to make sure it's something we can sustain. So yeah, generally, have your carbs, your calories placed pre-workout, post-workout, pre-bed, have protein with each meal. But the caveat to that is if you feel like your adherence is low or you're struggling to adhere, then place the calories where hunger is higher. Usually, again, towards the end of the day is not a bad idea for most people. And next up is your food choices. So when we're thinking about food choices to manage hunger, we want to make sure we're picking high satiety foods, foods that are basically filling. And some good practices in terms of what each meal should include and what some filling foods are is having a lean protein source with each meal, which could look like a chicken breast, a lean beef. It could look like having egg whites with maybe an egg or that in there. It could maybe look like having some sort of like 0% fat Greek yogurt, some whey protein. And as well as that, we could have 100 to 200 grams of fruit and veg a meal, which will support good digestion, which will support satiety, which will also support good overall health and not having deficiencies in your diet. So there's a host of benefits associated with having plenty of fruit and veg and fibre, which you obviously get from fruit and veg. So that's a great practice as well. And also making sure that we are trying to limit or remove completely liquid calories. So things like, again, not that it's bad for you, but having things like milk, having things like sugar in our coffee, having things like smoothies, not bad foods, not going to make us gain weight necessarily, but they're not going to be as conducive towards managing hunger, because we know chewing plays a part in managing hunger. So making sure your meal composition is good will mean you'll be fuller from those meals, preventing you from having to snack throughout the day. And also drinking more water before eating. And what that will do is manage your hunger, as it will stretch the stomach lining temporarily, which basically is something that will signal sensations of fullness, so that's a good idea itself. And also ensures proper hydration, because some people can just maybe not mistake being hungry for being dehydrated, but it's not going to harm you, you could say. So making sure that that's in place. Also, what you can do is you can identify your trigger foods. So everyone's unique, and it's important having like good self-awareness and being able to understand, right, what causes you to overeat. Basically, like when you, and this is something you should do whenever you struggle to stick to any goal, basically like troubleshoot and think, why didn't I stick to that? What could I do in the future to prevent that next time? And what that could look like in terms of your hunger management, snacking, is thinking, is it stress? Are you stressed and you're using it for like a coping mechanism emotionally? Are you eating out of boredom? Meaning, are you just bored?
Thanks very much for watching. The full video is available exclusively to my online coaching and personal training clients. If you're interested in any of the two services, feel free to inquire via messaging me on any of my social media platforms or via the link in the description, if applicable, depending on where you're watching this.
It could also be like just an influence of family and friends around you. It could be your circle and your environment that is, and maybe that's potentially having a slight bad influence. Not necessarily on purpose, but maybe having a slight bad influence on your nutrition. So in terms of the stress, to fix that, find something else that helps you manage stress. Deep breathing is shown to help get you in a relaxed state. That could be, again, being mindful of your phone use. It could be getting some activity in, going a walk in nature. With the boredom side of things, put things in and plan things in around your day. Again, go a walk, get some more calories burned. It could be playing a game, playing a board game, watching something. It could be learning a new skill, learning a new hobby. And with the emotional side of things, just again, dealing with whatever's going on that's causing you to eat from an emotional standpoint, like addressing the root issue. And also, again, finding other things that will help you manage that emotional side of things. If that's meeting up with friends and family, or again, doing something that you enjoy, you get pleasure in. And also, in terms of the influence of family and friends, communicating your goals, communicating how they can help you support your goals and work towards your goals. And if they are like a true friend or like a good family member, then they'll take that on board and not try and make you maybe eat foods that you don't want to eat if it's not conducive towards your goals, and hopefully support you. So yeah, identify the things that make you want to overeat and make you want to snack, and try and kind of troubleshoot it and fix those so they're no longer in place and they're no longer tempting. And also, make it easy. What I mean by this is, if, let's say, I told you, right, let's say you love snacking on cake, or it's not much of a snack, but let's say you love well, biscuits, that's quite a common one, we'll say biscuits. Let's say you love snacking on biscuits. What you can do in that circumstance is you can basically make the biscuits as hard as possible to get a handle. So let's say every time you wanted to eat a Tunnock's tea cake, the only place you could get them was England, and you needed to drive down to England to get them. How often would you eat Tunnock's tea cakes? Probably not very often. And why? Because it's inconvenient. So the more inconvenient you can make a bad habit, the harder it will be for you to carry, or the less likely it will be for you to carry it out. So what that can basically mean in practice is, don't buy those foods, and whenever you want it, make yourself go to the shop to buy one individually. If you do have the foods in a house or anything that you can remove from the house, put them in the most inconvenient spots possible. Put them in the hardest to reach spots at the back of cupboards where you need to get a stepladder out or something, and do the opposite with good foods. Do the opposite with foods you want to eat. And also, do the same with or you can ask your family member, like, only, like, if you have foods that are like a bit of a treat, like, tell them, right, only give me, or hide it, only give me it on a Saturday when I'm allowed to, you know, have it, if it's planned in, sort of thing. And that can help. And again, think about where you can apply this with other goals and other behaviours you want to put in place with your diet and with your...
Thank you very much for watching. The full video is available exclusively to my online coaching and personal training clients. If you're interested in any of the two services, feel free to inquire via messaging me on any of my social media platforms or via the link in the description, if applicable, depending on where you're watching this.